He's alive. Amen. Now listen. You know, last week we had a service in the morning where we were speaking about evangelism and what evangelism was about. And I mentioned that in the evening there would be some gifts that we would be giving out. And so I was expecting a huge amount of people to turn up. You know, I was expecting a lot of people in the evening. But unfortunately, not so many were there in the evening. But I want to say this. It was interesting to me on a couple of levels. One was the subject matter. We were talking about evangelism and why it's very important for us as the Christian church to be involved in evangelism. You know, it's fairly straightforward, isn't it? We should be involved in evangelism. Now, I was surprised at the lack of interest, possibly, if I could say it like that, in terms of us meeting in the evening and going through evangelism. Maybe it was just one of those things. Maybe there were lots of other things that were booked, so I'm not going to read too much into it. But one of the things that I was happy with was this. I was talking about someone who'd been involved in evangelism in the church and just highlighting a couple of things regarding that evangelism. And lo and behold, our dear brother Keith, who I was mentioning, walked straight into the church. And he is an evangelist. And we haven't seen him for many, many months. Now just think of this. We haven't devoted an evening service to teach on evangelism for several years. I mean, we haven't done it for several years. And I haven't spoken to him for several months, many months. And yet, the evening when we're speaking about evangelism, he comes walking through the door and sits down at the table. At the end of the service, I said to him, "I'm surprised to see that you're here tonight, and I'm delighted to see that you're here. I'm really happy to see you." I said, "Well done for coming, and what a night to come on the very night that we're talking about evangelism, on the night when we've gone through the various steps of evangelism, and we've highlighted some of these important things. You come on this very night." I was struck by his answer. He said, "Don't congratulate me for coming." He said, "I didn't want to come. I really didn't want to come," he said. I said, "Well, I know it must have been easy, because to be honest, we'd had a debate." He said, "I really didn't want to come." I said, "Well, why did you come?" He said, "Well, God was just pounding me to come, that I had to come. God was pounding me to come." And so he came from Warrington, and he was there last week. Now, the question I had was this. What was God saying to everyone else? Was God speaking to other people? Or was God just speaking to him? Or was God speaking to other people and perhaps people couldn't be bothered? It's warm. my brothers and sisters, we need to be very serious about the things of God. It's a serious message, the Christian message. It deserves everything that we've got. The words of Jesus, let me tell you this, there's such a danger in being in a building that's called a church. And the danger is this, that we've become so used to this thing called the Bible, this book, we've become so used to it that it no longer impregnates us in the way that it ought to and the way that it was designed to. You see, this Bible, this Holy Bible, is meant to impregnate us with information that causes us to have a change of mind. And so, for example, the words of Jesus Christ, the one who Christians follow, are these. If you want to follow me and be my disciple, you must deny yourself, pick up your cross, and then you follow me. It's about self-denial. It's about picking up a cross. What's that? It's the responsibilities that God has given us. It's the walk that God has called us to. Am I making sense? And what happens is we say, well, I'm not good with people. I'm a shy person. I'm not good with people. I'm a bit low-key. I'm not confident with people. It's not about confident with people. It's not about anything to do with any of that at all. This is about a spiritual walk with God. God has invested in each one of us. He's put his deposit in each one of us. And I tell you what, each one is so precious to him. You are so precious to God. You are a treasure of God. And he has made you a treasure if he's called you as one of his elect. And if he's done that, he's put a deposit in you. And that deposit in you is his anointing. According to the New Testament, this is. He has anointed us for this purpose. And so we ought not to be slack in doing that which God has called us to do. God has called us to walk a certain way. Now listen, there is a pull against us. It's the pull of the world. And that pull is pulling at you daily. It's pulling on your flesh. It's telling you the narrative of the world. Let me give a general narrative of the world. You'll recognize it quickly. You know it already. It's grow rich. Have lots of money in the bank. Have a lovely car and have a lovely house and lots of money in the bank. Then you're going to be happy. And then you be important. Become someone of importance. That's the narrative of the world. If you can be famous, even better, be famous. But the narrative of Jesus isn't that. The narrative of Jesus is a life that's surrendered to him for his purposes to be fulfilled through us. Now, he's a good God, and he loves us, and he blesses us. He gives good gifts to us. What I'm talking about is the aim of our lives. If your aim is for those things, you're going to be miserable. Because even when you get those things, you want more. Oh, you want the latest, the biggest, and more, and just more, and just more. It's a never-ending desire to consume. They call it consumerism. But with Jesus, it's a denial of self. And it's saying, not my will, thy will be done. And you see, God has given us a great mission my dear friends, a great mission to preach the gospel and to make disciples. Not converts, disciples. Let's look into the scriptures, shall we? And let's turn this morning then to 2 Corinthians 5. Reading from verse 9, it says this: therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done. Say, oh, well, it doesn't matter now. No, I'm saved. It's by grace. You're saved. It's by grace. It's not by works. Yes, it is by grace. It's not by works. That's right. However, watch me now. It's important. There's a lot of wrong teaching. This is the cross. Picture a big cross there, okay? That's a cross there. It's by grace, I am applying grace now to myself. It's by grace that I'm saved. I meet Jesus and I'm saved, okay? That's how I become saved and a Christian, by grace. But then I don't apply that same grace that caused me to meet my Lord and Savior Jesus to my life after I've met him. After I've met him, now there's a demand on my life. I can't then go back and say, but it's by grace I'm saved. Yeah, it is by grace you're saved, but it's not now anything goes afterwards. Paul teaches it in Romans. He makes it clear. Shall we sin then that grace may abound? No, absolutely not. No, now we're living in his grace, manifesting his life, manifesting his resurrection life. Now we're manifesting Jesus. Jesus, who now lives in us, is manifesting out of us. Am I making sense? And so when you hear people wrongly applying grace, what they're saying is, listen, anything goes now for me in my life. You know, just relax, okay? I'm just, everything's cool with me. I can just go about any old how. No. Not what the Bible teaches. Wrong teaching. Bible is very clear on it. It's strong on this. And we have to be clear and strong on it, folks. Because Jesus has a mission for us. And I'll tell you this, the doctrines of demons, they're not preached out there. The doctrines of demons are preached in churches. That's where those things are preached. Doctrines of demons are preached in churches to stop the work of God. This is a serious thing. We are involved in warfare. There's a spiritual warfare going on. It's not me that's saying this. It's the scripture. And, you know, you don't engage in warfare with an emotional whim or an idea. Warfare is done by intent. You have to reach a place of intent to be engaged in warfare. Because I tell you the truth, your flesh won't want to do it. Your flesh won't want to do it. Mine doesn't want to do it. My flesh should think of 1,000 things to do other than pray. Thousands of things other than pray. Very important things. Looking up that thing on the computer. Very important. No. We have to be people of an intent. Soldiers have an intent, and they live with that intent, and they will not be swayed by, they don't let things sway them. They've been given a mission, and now they're going for it. They've been told, right, you take that piece of land over there. That's yours. You take that land there. You're in Wigan. You're in this area, Wynn Stanley. Yeah, now you take that land there and the surrounding area. You take it. And then the enemy forces are all there trying to stop anything happening that could happen. And this is how they work. They come whispering. You see the way she looked at you? You see that? What, you're going to stand up for that? What, you're going to just let her say that? You're going to just let her, you know. What about him? Look at the way he, oh, they're a clique. How many times have I heard people say, oh, you've got a clique in the church? They often, you know, it's often. And what the enemy does is, the enemy uses the things in people's minds to take them away from the church. I heard of a man who was, Spirit-filled, worshiping the Lord. I mean, just loved the Lord, worshiping the Lord, and a pastor in a church, a wife, a couple of children. And then he grew a bit discouraged. Not many people, not much going on, not many things happening. And then he drifted into a homosexual thing. And he left his wife. And his wife started to pray for him. And she prayed for him for many months. Nothing happened. And the children were praying, bring daddy home. How could that happen? We're in a warfare. And then he didn't come back home. After a while, the children didn't bother praying anymore. This was, forget him. And the wife just grew bitter, angry. She didn't go to church anymore. And she died bitter and angry. And his life was just filled with shame and defeat, and the children grow bitter. And it could be anything. That's just one thing. It could be anything. It could be just, it could be a small offense. A small offense, and it takes someone away. And the enemy uses it. It takes people away. It causes division, and it causes the enemy's work to be done. He's got doctrines, you see. And he's got an army. He has an army. And they're engaged in trying to sow all the bad things that could possibly happen. Let's turn to Ephesians. Let's turn to Ephesians 6. In Ephesians 6, verse 12, it says this, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. But notice it says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. The reason why people don't come and want to hand out tracts, or let's talk together and learn about how we can hand out tracts and how we can do that. The reason why is the enemy has said something, made some point, got them thinking some way that they don't want to do it. His whole strategy will be to stop people doing that. That's the reason why people don't come. It's no surprise, is it? And where it says, for we do not wrestle, you know, the word wrestle in the Greek there, you know, we think of wrestling, you know, wrestling matches that they have on the TV, you know, just a sort of wrestling match, you know, where there's oh, you've won a point there now, okay, you're one to you, nil to the other one. That's not the wrestling that that's referring to, folks. The wrestling that that's referring to is the word was for a particular place and a particular type of wrestling where there was no rules. It's not fair play wrestling. That's talking about real wrestling till death. That's the wrestling it's talking about. So in the place where they would do this type of wrestling that's mentioned in the Greek, it would be unto death. They'll gouge eyes out. They'll bite. Anything goes. And the winner is the one that's not dead. You see, the enemy isn't fair. He will come after you. He'll come after your family. He'll come after everything, anything he can lay his hands on. He's going to come after it. Well, you call yourself a Christian? Okay, we're going to test you. We're going to see where you are in this Christian. That's the enemy's strategy. And he's got a force that's there, that's working on his behalf and throwing all sorts of things against us. You think of the things that are thrown. There's the world. There's our own battles in our own minds. But praise God, brothers and sisters, look, I'm saying this not for anyone in this place to be discouraged. I'm saying it that we wake up to the fact that we are involved in something that's very serious. And this is a serious business. It's a serious, serious business. It doesn't get more serious and it doesn't get more important. And this is what happens. God has called us to this battle. Jesus has won it. And the scripture teaches us this in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Watch this. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. Bringing it into the captivity to the obedience of Christ. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. My friends, listen. People in this church are going to disappoint you. People in this church will definitely disappoint you. People in this church could well offend you. People in this church, all sorts of problems. But hey, who are we? We're not to be focused on each other. We're to be focused on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You spend a week looking at me, you're going to be really disappointed. You don't want to look at me. You want to look at Jesus. If you can glean something from me, brilliant. Glean it from me. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Perhaps I'm not as confident as Paul, okay? My point is this. We're involved in serious work, the serious work of the church. Evangelism is part of that work. But what happens is people get things into their minds that stops them en route to what God has called them to, stops them being what God's called them to be, gets them thinking the wrong way. My friends, listen, God has given us this ministry. It's so powerful. I'm excited about the fact that God has called us to evangelize. I think of my life and some of the great blessings of evangelism. When I think of the joy of knowing Jesus, and I think of the great things that have happened in my life, it's been when I've been handing out tracts and giving tracts to people. We've said this week, I need to really have tracts with me all the time. I want tracts with me all the time. I meet people. Churches can have programs towards this end, you know, set up a pro. But that's good. That can be useful. But it's a lifestyle where you're just used to giving out tracts to people. Look, we've printed tracts here. I've got some good ideas for tracts. I've got a nice idea for a tract, and it's called Pride. Now, picture this. Come with me. Because I heard they were having a Pride March. See, they're having a Pride March. So I thought, great. We're going to have a tract. It's going to have a rainbow on the front. And it's going to have a Bible verse on it. It's going to have big word on the front, Pride. And with a rainbow on the front. That would be nice. You'd hand them out. And then when they open it up, comes before a fall. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what the Bible says. Yeah. It's good, isn't it? Who likes the idea of that tract? Pride comes before a fall. That's what the Bible teaches. I believe the Bible. I'm going with the Bible, folks. Pride comes before a fall. And then all sorts of other things about pride. Pride is a terrible thing. Why would you want to say you've got pride? It comes before a fall, according to the Bible. Anyone involved with that, they're heading for a fall, according to my Bible. God bless the darlings. Maybe we'll reach them en route and save a few. Amen? By his grace. That's what he's called us for. Got these little coins here, the Ten Commandments. Remember last week we went through, you know, using the law, saying to people, you know, say to someone, do you think you're, where are you going when you die? Heaven, I hope. Oh, you think you're going to heaven? Okay. What makes you think you're going to heaven? Well, I'm a pretty good person. And then we went through it last week, didn't we? Have you ever lied? Well, yes. Have you ever stolen anything? Well, just a small thing, but yes. Okay, have you ever used God's name in vain? Well, yes. Oh, so you think you're a good person, but by your own admission, you're a lying, thieving blasphemer. Let me ask you again, where do you think you're going when you die? If they still think yes, well, you know, we could spend some more time perhaps, but you know, it can be very clear to some people when you say the right thing, say the gospel for what it says. These coins have got the little Ten Commandments, just lightweight things, Ten Commandments and the Lord's Prayer. Who'd like to give one of these out this week to someone? Well, there you go. Look, first hand up. Look, there we go. There's one there, one there, one there, and one there. And I'm out of them, but are you elect, tracked? And I got some more coins in the back. Nice. Are you elect? Look, checks. We got checks. Who doesn't want to receive a check? You're like, nice checks. £1 million. You know, in 1 million years from now, it won't matter what car you were driving. You won't remember how much money you had or didn't have in the bank. You won't remember that nasty letter that you had from that utility company. You won't remember any of these things. what you'll remember is there was a day when you said yes to the Lord Jesus. And you'll remember there was a day when you said yes to his leading as a Christian, and you led that one to Jesus. You led that one to Jesus. You led this one to Jesus. You'll remember those things, because in doing those things, we build for ourselves wise investments, treasures in heaven. I want wise investments, my friends. I want to be stocking up plenty of wise investment, treasures in heaven. Am I making sense this morning, folks? It's making sense. I remember, you know, there was a lady. I had these checks, different checks to these ones. On the checks that I had, they had a thing on the back where you could sign your name and date it. And we were looking for a sofa. And so we were looking for a sofa. We were in this place, and it was a nice, quite a nice shop in London, and Notting Hill High Street there. And I was looking around at these sofas, and this lady came over to me. She said, "Oh, would you like to have a look at the swatches that we have?" I said, "Oh, thanks very much. Oh, this looks nice. This is nice." And I thought, "Oh, she's been very nice to me, you know." And lots of sofas. I thought she'd be really nice. Let me give her a check as I leave. So I said, "You've been so nice." I said, "I just want to give you this check." And give her this little check, gospel tract, you see. And she says, "Oh, I don't want that." I said, "Okay, fair enough. I'm not there to argue." I said, "Look, miss," I said, "do you mind me asking why you really, you sort of looked like you were upset when I gave you that thing. Is there any reason?" She said, "You're a born-again Christian." And she said, "My mother's one of those. I can't stand it." I said, "Oh." I said, "I'm sorry." She said, "I can't stand born-again Christians." She said, "I believe in the New Age movement." Now, you see, what you don't ever want to do when you're evangelizing, well, most of the time when you're evangelizing, is to engage in an argument thing. You just want to say, "Well, I just said, well, I understand." She was surprised. Now, what I meant by "I understand" is I understand that you are involved in things. I wasn't agreeing, but I said, "I understand." And then I said, "Well, why are you involved in that?" Well, she said, "It doesn't make any demands on me." She said, "I can just be me." I said, "Oh, I understand." And she looked more surprised. And then I said a prayer. I said, "Lord, what shall I say to this woman?" Because, you know, when we evangelize, it's not about our human intellect. It's about our reliance on the Holy Spirit and the leading of the Holy Spirit. "Lord, who shall I speak to? What shall I say to them?" And so I say, "Look, what shall I say to her, Lord?" And he says, "Tell her that I'm her heavenly Father and that I love her very much." Okay? So you can pray in silence and God will tell you, you know, straight away. I said to her, "You know, miss," as she was talking about the New Age and how great it was and everything, I just, "Let me just say this to you. I believe God wants me to say something to you. He's your heavenly Father, and he loves you very much." Well, you know what happened? She started to cry. It cut through all the arguing. It cut through everything. There was no debate. It was the right words, because they came from God. It was the right words into her heart. And she started to weep. I mean, this is the manageress of the shop. She started to weep and weep. And I said, "Listen, you want me to explain this gospel?" She said, "Yes." And she went sobbing to the front door of the shop and turned the sign around and closed the shop. And right there in the shop, and I was with someone, and right there in the shop, I was able to explain the gospel to her, and she gave her life to Jesus. And she said, "You know that check," she said, can I have it back? And I gave her the check back, and she dated it, and she signed it, and that was the day that she became a Christian. Praise God. Now, I've got a statistic I want to share with you. I want you us to think about this, because I believe this is a strategy for this church. This is not just for this Sunday, folks. This is not just this is our life. A life of evangelism, a life of carrying tracts, handing out tracts to people. You may not be able to talk to people, but listen, anyone can go up to someone and have a tract and say, Jesus loves you. Any one of us can do that. Or any of us can be on the bus and just leave it. Just leave it. I heard of a man who was a Muslim man who was so upset with his life, he was going to kill himself. And he took himself to the railway track to kill himself. And the first train went past, and the wind that came with the track, it blew a crumpled up tract to his feet. He opened up the tract, he read the tract, and he read it again, and he read it again. And as he was reading about Jesus and the love of God, he started to change on the inside, he said. He started to like warm up on the inside. He said he was freezing cold on the inside. And reading the tract, he started to warm up. It was as if life was coming into his body again. And that life was the life of God. And he asked Jesus into his life. It's a remarkable testimony. He was transformed that day. He was happy. He told his family. He started to tell everyone. They threw him out. They didn't want anything to do with him. And then he had an accident one day, and he was in the hospital. And he met this man who was a gang member, who was a Muslim, and this gang member was going to kill him. He tried to get him out of the hospital to kill him. And he knew he was going to try and kill him. And he just kept on preaching him and kept on telling him about the love of Jesus. It was the love, he said. He just kept on the love of Jesus, the love of God, the love, the love, the love. And this man started to warm up. And then this gang leader gave his life to Jesus. And then they then in turn were leading many people to Jesus and are still leading people to Jesus because someone had a tract and they'd given it out to someone. So you see, we're the body of Jesus on earth. You and me, we're the body of Jesus on planet earth. We're Jesus' hands. We're Jesus' mouth. It was an interesting statistic that I read. Let me share it with you. The statistic is basically this, that if we evangelized 1,000 people a year for 15 years, you'd end up with 15,000 new believers, wouldn't you? Assuming that they were all genuine conversions. There'd be 15,000. But listen to this. If you led one person to the Lord every 6 months and spent the next 6 months discipling that person so that they could then lead someone to the Lord within 6 months, and they then did the same, and those did the same, and those did the same, in 16 and a half years, all the world would have been evangelized. There would be 7 billion Christians. Isn't that something? And that's what they call discipleship evangelism. Not conversion. The word conversion is in the New Testament. But being a disciple of Jesus. That's New Testament. And that's what God has called us to. Jesus says this And he spake these words in John 8, it says this, 30 to 32. And he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Interesting that when people quote, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, they don't tend to quote it in context. Listen to the context again. And he spake these words. Many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. Notice, these Jews believed on Jesus. He says, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Believing in Jesus is no proof of being a disciple. That's no proof. The demons believe and shudder. The proof of being a disciple of Jesus is that we live the life that Jesus called us to live. That involves worship. It involves a desire to be with God's people in worship. It involves a desire to be in the Word daily, in prayer. It involves evangelism. It must involve evangelism. Evangelism is an integral part of this. The great commission that Jesus gave to us was to go and make disciples. That's the great commission. And so this is a very serious matter for us as a church. And I'm going to encourage everyone today, listen, be encouraged. Yes, there are difficulties. Yes, the secular society, everything it represents is against what we believe. But it's okay because the weapons of our warfare are mighty in God. God has given us the victory. And God is saying to us, now listen, you just yield now to what I'm telling you to do, and I'm with you. I mean, just do it. Let's just look at the start of the church in Acts. Just right at the start of the church. We know this verse very well, most of us, I expect, in Acts 1 and verse 8. In Acts 1 verse 8, it says this, the words of Jesus, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now, you see, a lot of Christians spend their time, they say, oh, yes, we want to receive power. Yes, you want to receive power. Power to get wealth. Power for that. I'm believing God for that big house. I'm believing God for that nice car. I'm believing God for money in the bank. I'm believing God all my bills are going to be paid. Oh, I'm believing God. I'm believing God. And all of that is about what we're receiving for ourselves. Now, listen. God is happy with those things, but that's not the way that we should be exercising belief. Listen, he says this, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Those things, they come. They come, they go. Those are the things. Nice, okay, great. Listen, the problem is this, for many people, those things are a focus of attention. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Those things can come. The important thing is to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And part of that kingdom of God is evangelism. Evangelizing those people. Having a desire to evangelize, to win them for Jesus. And in Acts 1 verse 8 it says this, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. You see, that's what the context of this is. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Why? To be witnesses. To witness. But you see what happens? People don't want to do that. Why? Because if you go up to someone, you don't know them, everything in the world, you know, is geared towards anyone who goes up to someone they don't know, Well, they're going to give you something for free. Now, you're suspicious of me. If I'm giving you something for free, you'd be suspicious. Because you'd think I was selling you something. Double glazing windows or whatever, you know, whatever it would be. That's what happens, isn't it? When people give something for free, the world is suspicious. We're the ones who are giving something. We don't want anything from them. Bless those darlings. They're ignorant to that fact. But we're not ignorant to it. We don't want anything from them. We're doing this in obedience to our God. That's why we're evangelizing. We're not doing it to get anything from them. We're doing it in obedience to God. But you see, so much of the time, people want to be, they don't like the reaction. Who likes the, but it's your flesh that doesn't like the reaction. It's our flesh that doesn't like the reaction. Because people look down at you, don't they? You hand out a tract. Have you ever done it? And they say, I'm interested. That's okay. Gajon, you've had a lot of that, haven't you, of the last period? I'm not interested. Makes you feel humble, does it? It's good for us. That's okay. It's a nice thing. Puts us in a humble place. That's a blessing as well, you know. You know, one of the things you have to watch in this world is the desire to be important. Don't desire to be important. That's a trap. Oh, no. Don't desire to be important. Don't desire to have people think, oh, what an important person. Oh, never. Desire to have think small of yourself. Think nice and small of yourself. That's the best way. Have a small opinion of yourself. Not a big opinion. If you have a small opinion of yourself, handing out tracts is easier. But if you're a prideful person, handing out tracts is really difficult because people look down on you now. And you think, I'm just as good as you. What are you looking down at me for? I'm just as good as you. But you see, this is a spiritual war that we're involved in, my friends. Spiritual warfare. So you see, for us who know, look, we know, don't we? We're the Christians. We're the ones who've been given this truth. And so because we've been given this truth, we're the Christians. We're on a higher level. This is what Jesus is saying when he says that we are seated with him in heavenly realms. We're seated with him now. It says, in heavenly realms. What does that mean? It means we've got a different perspective. It means we're looking down from above. We've got a different perspective. Ah, things look different now. It's not such a big deal anymore for me to hand that tract out. Oh, my dear friends. Look, let's close this morning here. And let me just invite us all to stand. He's so gracious to us. He's so wonderful. Let's pray here this morning as we close. Let's just invite everyone to close eyes. Father God, oh Lord, we want to serve you, Lord. The reason why we've come here this morning, Lord, is because we love the Lord Jesus. Each one of us has come because we love you, Lord. Each one of us, I believe, has come because we want to really follow you. And we want the things of God for our lives. With every eye closed, no one every eye closed, no one looking around, let me ask this question. Is there anyone here who wants to commit their life to Jesus this morning? You want to say, look, I want Jesus as the Lord of my life. I don't want to be destined for hell. I want to be destined for heaven. I want to follow the Lord Jesus. And I want to follow the Lord Jesus with my life. If that's you this morning, put your hand up now and respond to God. I see one hand. I wonder if there's another hand. Thank you, Father God. Someone here, you're thinking to yourself, oh, shall I? I want to, but I don't want to. I'm a bit shy. I want to, but I don't want to. You just respond to God this morning. Put your hand up and respond to Him now. And then, Father God, there's others of us here, Lord. We want to lead people to Jesus. The great joy of leading people to Jesus. Father God, we want to lead people to Jesus. And perhaps we've been shy in the past. Perhaps we've not taken steps forward. Perhaps we used to, but we haven't done it for a while. But we want to lead people to Jesus. We want to carry tracts in our pocket. We want to be handing out tracts and being a fool for Jesus, so to speak. Listen, if God has spoken to you this morning about that, you just respond to God now. Respond in your heart to Him. Maybe you want to lift your hand. Maybe you want to pray to Him. You respond to God this morning and say, Lord, that's for me. I want to obey the great commission of Jesus. I want to reach people with the gospel. I want to see people come to faith. I don't want to miss out on this great opportunity that you've given me to be a soul winner. I want to make the right investments with my life. If that's you, look, put up your hand now, respond to Him and say, yes, that's me. I want to win people for Jesus. I want to hand out tracts. I want to lead people. I want to pray for people. I really want to see people come to faith. Oh, Father God, I'm putting up my hand, Lord. I'm responding to my own message. Father God, help us, Lord, as we commit ourselves to You, Lord. We want to say, look, take our lives, Father God. Have Your way in and through us. Father God, have Your way. Lord, we want to be all that You've called us to be and do all that You've called us to do. That the kingdom of God expands through Living Faith Church, through our lives. Oh, Lord, we give ourselves to You. We abandon ourselves to You. Have Your way with us.